will be 20 of you in the presence here this morning. Become the thing that is upon my mind and that is on my heart this morning. There's a number of things that are there, but as we come thinking about how good the Lord has been to us and how much He loved us, how much God loved us, how much Jesus Christ loved us. I guess one thing that sort of got my mind thinking about this is, and this is not the text, when Nicodemus came to our Lord and Savior in the garden at night one time and was asking about the new birth, and Jesus had explained to him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And later on he told Nicodemus, he said that that must be born again to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he made a statement in John chapter 3 and verse 6. He said, that which is born of the Spirit, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say it, and said it, you must be born again. He tells how the Holy Spirit comes and moves over. And Nicodemus has asked, he said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can he enter into his mother's womb the second time? And then Jesus came back and told him about the wind, the Holy Spirit administered to the new birth. And Nicodemus answered him and said, and he asked him a question. He said, how can these things be? And you know, the world, I think, is asking today, how can these things be? How must I must do something to be born again? But that's not the way it is. We're born again of the Spirit of God. And as he asked that question, how can these things be? And you know, unless the Lord gives us the answer, we don't understand those things. But my thought on this was this: because of the love of God, He gave His Son. His Son loved us enough to die for us, for His people that He had. And so as I thought about that, and how that as God's people, we are blessed because of the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ and even the love of the Holy Spirit, my mind went to John chapter 1, and I'd like to begin reading at verse 6 and read through verse 14. As we read this particular passage, keep in mind and listen to it for what it says to you. Don't carry into this reading a preconceived notion of how it should be, but this is how it is. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this was John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We stop right there and you say, well, it's up to us. We got to believe. We got to accept. As before. But who can believe? Who can believe? The only one that can believe will be those that have been born again. And listen to what he says in that next, in verse 13. He says, those which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of it, as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, as we look at that, and we think about this particular passage here, I want us to really look at this, and for years I read it just the 12th verse, and I stopped there. But it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. What did Jesus say? You must be born again to see the kingdom. And that kingdom is not an eternal heaven. That's the kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy that we have in this world in which we live. And he said, we must be born again to enter. So we see those that are that will be able to see and to enter are those which were born of God, and not of their works, not of their own will. But Jesus Christ came to earth to save His people from their sins. chapter 1 verse 21 tells us that when the angel came to Joseph and told Joseph not to worry about Mary being with child, that child was of the Holy Spirit. And he told Joseph, he said, for she shall bring forth a son, talking about Mary, and his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And Jesus came then. And Jesus has come and that we might have life. And as we think about those things, if Jesus' coming was according to God the Father's will, and the Father's will was that all those that were given to Christ and the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, those that were chosen in Christ, would be redeemed. And you say, well, Brother Edward, where do you get that? And I get it from Ephesians chapter 1, and I'd like to read verses 3 through 12 in this one. It says, blessed be, Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, you ought to have some help to misunderstand this, and listen to how plain it is. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? According to the pleasure of his own good will. According to the pleasure of his will. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together and one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we see here, he loved us enough, and when we go to John, chapter 3 and his 16, for God so loved the world. Which world did he love? John 17, he said, I pray not for the world. But in John chapter 3 and verse 16, he said he so loved the world. Which love world was he talking about? As I studied the scripture, it's about seven worlds that are mentioned in the Bible. And if you take the Bible, it was written somewhat like our newspapers in a way, because today, if you go back and probably go home and pick up your newspaper, and you might see where the sports world did a certain thing. You might see where the business world did certain things. You might see where the political world. What is he talking about? He's talking about those group of people that are involved in sports and politics and business. And I'd say last night, everyone had a good time. And you that were there, did you have a good time? Who's the everyone? Those that were there. I hope you can see this, that the Bible speaks in terminology about those things. And when he says, all that the Father giveth him, who are the all? Those that were included in the covenant of grace. So if we look at this thing this morning, and when we look at the love of God, that God loved the people so much that he gave his son to die on the cross, that we might have some things as we sojourn here upon this earth. And that we know that he gave us so much. He gave us redemption. He gave us the right to be heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ by his name. He also gave us this thing that so many times we forget and sometimes we do not claim. In John chapter 10 and verse 10, Jesus was speaking in this particular passage. He says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that's Satan. Satan would kill our joy. Satan would kill our devotion to God. Satan would kill our relationship with Jesus Christ if he could. But he says, this is what the thief comes. And I tell you, a lot of God's people today are being robbed of blessings because they're fallen and believing the lie of Satan and falling after the things of the world instead of the things of Christ. But listen to what he said further then. He says, the thief cometh for that. But he says, I am come that they might have life abundantly. And I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So what did he say? He came that we might have the abundant life. If we think about the abundant life today, I think so many times our mind might go to material things. It might go to those things of this world whereby we have great power. We can rule empires. We can rule nations. We can rule those things. But when he talks about life abundantly, he's talking about those things that we can have in this life if we truly come to the point that we're able to trust him with all the affairs of our life, that we might look unto him for our guidance and our direction, and that we might devote ourselves unto him, that we might enter into those things. Last Sunday, I tried to preach a sermon that the only way that we'll ever serve the Lord as we should is because we love him supremely. Because if we do not have the love of God, if we do not love the Lord Jesus Christ more than we love the things of the world, and we serve the things of this world more than we serve Christ, it'll be because our love is not as strong as it should be for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've quoted to you, tried to quote to you a verse in the Bible, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I would say this morning we might paraphrase that. What a man loves, he serves. And if we serve the world, or we serve ourselves, then we love ourselves more than we love the Lord. But it's what we love in our heart is what we're going to serve. And what do you love most this morning? Jesus Christ loved you. He loved you more than life itself. He loved you enough to leave the very pores of an eternal heaven where there was all eternal bliss and without any of this saw this upon earth. He came and took upon himself the form of human flesh that he might pay your sin debt, that he might give you the opportunity in this life to have the abundant life, that you might walk in such a manner that you would be a person that would be pleasing to God. My Bible tells me that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, are two terms that are used, but they're synonymous. They mean the same thing. And it says that we can enter into this kingdom. And did you notice he said, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven? We don't see a kingdom out here with armies and kings on a throne. We don't see big palaces and house chambers where laws are made. But where do we find our King of kings and Lord of lords? We find him in our heart. We find him in all the universe around about us. And it says that you must be born again to see this. How do we see it? We do not see it with the eyes of vision, but we see it through the eyes of faith that he has given us as a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God that we find in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says you must be born again to enter into this kingdom. How do we do enter into this kingdom? By doing those things which are right, those things which God has commanded us to do, and those things that he has told us to do. You know, there's so many times we like to look upon the Ten Commandments and say, I've never broken one of those. But have you? But have you ever loved something more than you love God? If you did, you broke the first three. Have you ever had a time that you bowed down to the things of this world more than giving your allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and falling after him? If you have, you have all. You know, the world teaches us today, the world is a certain statement. The world says, well, you just love your fellow man, but they make no mention of God. But my Bible says that we must love God first. It says that we love him because he first loved us. Let me point that out to you. If we didn't love him and him start loving us, he loved us and he called us and he drawed us. He says, come, you're mine. Walk with me that you might have the abundant life. And where the decision comes in this life in which we live, are we going to, after we're born again, are we going to walk with him? Are we going to follow him? Are we going to follow the lust of the flesh in our own ways? But he says that if we come and we are born again, we can see the kingdom through the eyes of faith. We can enter into it. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what it is. And there's progression there this morning. I'll tell you, if we enter into the kingdom of God, it's because we love him enough to serve him. It's because we love him supremely. It's because we love him more than the things of the world. We love him more than anything. And we serve him. We have our heart's desire is to please God. And if we come there, we do those things. And he has told us some things not to do, some things to do. And I think we like to take the Ten Commandments and say, I've never broken one of these. And we forget to look out for those who have need in our lives. Brother James says, if he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know someone that has a need and we care not for their need. We know someone that has a need of fellowship. We don't see them. We have someone that we know that has need of food. We don't feed them. We have someone that's cold. We don't give them a coat. We know someone that's thirsty. We don't give them a glass of water. And we know these things and we don't do it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I think then it becomes sin. We are more guilty in the day of the sins of omission than we are of commission as a people. There's things that we omit to do that we should do. And the Word of God is full of those things. And we have freedom today. We're not bound by the law to reach heaven, but we've been given freedom to serve the Lord as we're guided by the Holy Spirit. Do you pray today, Lord, guide me to be a servant to you today? We should. Lord, put someone in my way that I might minister to in your name today. We should do those things. To reach heaven? No. But to glorify the one that made the way to heaven possible for us. But he says that the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it performs progression. Listen to me. If we do those right things, we're going to find peace. When we find peace, there's going to be joy in our heart. We're not finding it in the world. I've known men that were wealthy men, probably millions and millions of dollars, that were anxious. They were always pacing to and fro. They were always afraid that what they had was going to be taken from them. And that's one thing we don't have to worry about as a child of God. Eternal heaven will never be taken away from us. If we are a blood-bought people, we have a blood-bought home, which is heaven, which will be ours regardless of what comes. Romans tells us that there's nothing that will separate us from the love of God. So I want us to know that. We have an eternal home that is secured and is guaranteed by Jesus Christ Himself and God the Father. But He says in this world, He says that you can find peace for your life if you'll do those right things, if you trust Me. And I find this, the more I trust Him, the better my life is. The more I trust the world, the worse it all gets. I can look back in my life and I can see those times when trouble came down the pike and I said, well, what I must do, I must go into the office a couple hours early and I'm going to work harder. And I stay hours later and it got no better. But finally one day I said, Lord, I'm yours. Let me have your peace. And I'll tell you, those things began to fall into place and things that I couldn't solve, I knew I couldn't solve, and I gave it to the Lord and walked from it. And I found peace for my soul. And that's what we must do. And every one of us has troubles. There's not a one in here this morning that does not have something that concerns you from time to time. I was talking to a lady this past week. And you know, we say, well, the Lord is just concerned about these things. Are there any big things to God? No. We say, well, I don't want to give you anything but the big things. Is anything too big for God? No. Those things in our lives, He is concerned about our abundant life, that we would have that peace and joy as we sojourn here upon the face of this earth. But a lady told me, she said, you know, she said, I got afraid in my home that when my husband was at work or away from home, I was afraid to take a shower. I was afraid of bears and sundry things. And she said, you know, said, I was just afraid. And she said, I don't know why it came upon me. But she said, I began to pray, and I prayed, and the Lord didn't take it away the first day, but she said, I kept praying, and said, you know, the Lord removed that fear. I said, praise God, that's the way it is. We can rely upon Him for our safety. We rely upon Him for our daily bread. The model of prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We look to Him. We say, well, we must work. Just as sure as the children of Israel, God brings down manna from heaven, but He said, you go get it, and this is the way this abundant life is. There's some things we need to gather up. There's some things that we need to do that we might enter into this earthly kingdom that we have entrance to now, that we might find peace for our soul. Do we trust God as we ought? Do you trust God as you ought? Or do you try to take care of the situation at hand? You know, I think the Lord expects us to do what we can do. But I think He expects us to call upon Me. He says that all you that labor and heavy laden, come unto Me and I'll give you rest. And I think what He's saying there, we labor under the decisions and the troubles of life, we'll come unto Him and say, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Give me the right thing to do. Because He said in His Word that He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He said in His Word that there's no temptation or trial of life that will come upon us that He hasn't already faced. And He says, with every trial, He said, I'll make a way to escape. Do we believe that? Do we believe that, do we believe Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, those who are the call according to His purpose? Can we trust the Lord with the things of our everyday life? Do we seek Him? I tell you, I'm afraid probably a lot of you are like I was. In fact, sometimes I still am. I use the Lord in prayer as the last resort instead of the first resource. I should be using Him as the first resource instead of the last resort. I believe it was Mother Teresa said, when we come to the point that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is all that we need, that is all we have left. Does that make sense? Do we get down so low sometimes we say, only thing I need is Jesus Christ and His leadership? And we come to realize, hey, we've tried all our ways. We've tried our avenues. We've tried our angles, and it hasn't worked. Lord, take what did Brother Peter say? Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's love. That's love. But He says, He came and He died that we might live, that we might have life, that we might find peace. Did He tell us we would not have troubles? No. He said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. And that word tribulation comes back from a word that, I don't know how many of you remember these things. But I can remember as a boy on the farm, we had what we called a stalk cutter. It was pulled by a mule. And on that stalk cutter, it was a big round cylinder. And on that cylinder, ever so often, about 8 inches, it was a wide blade. About that long, and it was pointed like a knife. And it would go, and we'd take it, the old mule, and we'd go down the road and knock those stalks over, and as it'd go over, it'd chop them up. It was a stalk cutter. And that's where tribulation, that's where that word comes from. The trials of life sometimes is like that old stalk cutter, coming and cutting us as it goes. But He says, you shall have tribulation. He said, I'll make a way. I'll make a way to escape. I'll give unto you those things that you have need of. I will not leave you. And to me, that is a wonderful thing. But that word tribulation comes from that whereby we are cut. We're cut. And that's what Satan would have us to know this morning, or to do this morning, that we might be cut asunder, that we might be injured, that we would be a people that would not be trusting the Lord. But He says, cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. He says, He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly, that we might have life. He gave us the opportunity that we might live for Him, that we might do those things that would be living for Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, as I looked at that and thought about what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, I believe it is, and that He died for all, that they which live should be not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Let me read that again to you. And that He died for all. Who is the all? Those that were given to Him in the covenant of grace, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, not live a selfish life, seeking our own pleasures, but seeking to glorify God. But it says that we should live unto Him which died for us and rose again. We serve a risen Master. He's alive today. But He's given us an opportunity that we might live a life that would be praise unto Him in this dark world in which we live. In Ephesians chapter 10 and verse 10, you know, as He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that's our eternal salvation. Then He came back and He said something that we should do. He says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Why are we created unto good works? That our Lord and Savior might be praised in this world in which we live. His workmanship, His creation. We are, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and all things become new. We are a new creature. And we should live in such a way as to praise Him. We are His workmanship. As He told Paul, told Titus, that we should be as redeemed unto Himself, a peculiar people, that we should be zealous of good works. Good works reach heaven. No good works because we have heaven, that the one that gave us heaven might be glorified. I'll say to us this morning that we have an opportunity to live in this world that we might be a praise to Him. Then the other thing that I'll quit with this morning is something that we all don't want to think about too much. I had a friend one time that said, you know, he said, I believe that heaven's my home, but I'm not homesick yet. But you know, it's a joyous thought to know this. And one day, we're all going to die if the Lord don't come back. Every one of us in here, there's not a one of us going to get out of this world alive. And I'm not saying this to frighten you, but if we're His, we have something that's better than what we have now, even if we enjoy it to the utmost. If we all live in the abundant life in Jesus Christ, there's something beyond that realm that we have that we can look into and know that a better day is coming. In John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30, Jesus here again is speaking, and He's speaking as the Good Shepherd. And as He looks at this, John 10, 27 through 30, He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me. Did you notice that my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of the Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What did He say there? He said, I give unto thee eternal life. What is eternal life? It'll be in heaven for God's people. Then as we look a little further at God's Word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 through 11. Listen what He's saying here, and He's speaking about how this thing is going to come about. He says, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Who's the us? Those that were chosen in Christ. That whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Whether we are alive or whether we've gone on in all this body, that we should live with Him. Wherefore, comfort one another with these. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Did you notice here? I have eternal life. What am I going to speak? He said, I give unto them eternal life. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Where I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Where is he going? He's going back to heaven. He's coming back. 1 Thessalonians says that one day he's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back to claim his church. He's coming back to claim his bride. It says, when the trump sounds, be as a twinkling of eye, the Lord himself shall descend. He's not sending an angel to get us. We're better than that. The Lord himself shall descend. And it says that we which are alive shall not prevent those which are asleep. Those that are asleep in Christ, they're going to be first, and then we which remain will be gathered with him in the air. See, he's not sending an angel. The Lord himself is coming. If he loved us enough to die for us, don't you think he's going to escort us to heaven? May the Lord bless us this morning. We have a wonderful Savior. And why did he do it? He did it out of love. May God bless us to see that. Valentine's Day is coming, but we have received the greatest Valentine, and that's the love of Christ, which manifested the love of God to us as a people.